Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ.
Amen.
Wyatt, Emma, we celebrate today with you. We are so proud of you, and we so love you. And this is Good Shepherd Sunday, which is an appropriate day to affirm your faith. And as you affirm your faith, we're going to, all of us, reaffirm our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who today identifies himself. Because, you see, during these Sundays of Easter, they're called, again, mystagogy. The secret of God is revealed. What the resurrection is about is revealed. What the new life in Christ, the powerful life, the energizing life in Christ is all about, and what we can take in. And so Jesus says today, I am the good shepherd. And what does he say the good shepherd does? Lays down his life for the sheep. For you and me, for all people. In other words, he serves. He serves in love. He gives totally his life for the sheep. You know, he doesn't stand around and say, oh, it's so terrible in this world. What's going to happen? Oh, it's so many problems. Oh, so this. He saw a man born blind in the synagogue. He didn't say, oh, that's so terrible. What can we do? What? No. He goes up to the man. He says, do you want to be healed? He says, yes, I want to be healed. And he spits and he rubs the guy's eyes and mud. And the guy receives his sight. He does this on the Sabbath. And he gets in trouble with the Pharisees. He still does it. He does love. That's what it means by laying down his life for the sheep. He does it by love. Not passive. He takes the gospel to the person. He takes the good news to the person. He takes the healing and forgiveness and kindness and love to the person. When you see this happening, you know the good shepherd is in action. You know, there's some who try to usurp Christianity today. There's political parties that try to usurp Christianity today. They're liars. Christ is always in love, the power to reunite that which is separated, that which gives life and eternal life and goodness and love. And Jesus goes on to say, those who follow me hear my voice. I don't hear Jesus' voice. There's so many words and things going on. I know some girls that are still waking up because they spend all night listening to Taylor Swift's new beautiful album all night. It's a beautiful voice. It's beautiful. All your voices about this is so terrible, that's so terrible, the world's going to end. Hear God's voice, Jesus, the true voice, all these voices. Well, that's why God gives us the Bible. And these guys have studied the Bible very intensively this last year or so. And in the Bible, it tells us that Jesus loves us. And in fact, Martin Luther said the Bible is the cradle that holds the Christ child. You want to understand the Word of God, know Jesus. Because otherwise, the Bible could be a Rorschach test. You have dictators, Hitler, Stalin, another one of the dictators that use the Bible, and they hold it, they try to sell the Bible to you, God, country, Bible, so this garbage. The Bible points to Jesus Christ and what God means. Is it prayer? Worshiping like you are today? Acts of kindness, goodness. And Martin Luther knew that the Bible could be used as a Rorschach test. Anything into it. And so in fact, some people use it as magic. They'll say, okay, God, I got this promise. You got this piece of Bible. And then they find like Judas went out and hung himself. So, well, that's not too helpful. So God, I put my finger where it should be. Go and do likewise. So you know, those kind of things don't help. That's why Martin Luther gave us a key. Christ in the Bible. It's called the Small Catechism.
And he starts out and he said, if you don't know this, you're not really a Christian. He starts out with the 10 words, called the 10 commandments, really in Hebrew, it's R-R, the 10 words of God. God is in control. Don't say God and country, God and this. No, it's God, family, and then whatever else. Okay? God's in control. Don't use it in name. He's God's in reference. You stand by thinking, ah, oh, God. You know, don't take the name. Let the name rest. Let the world come. You got promising Jesus to take over. Then take the name to rest. Yeah. Honor your father and mother. Honor your adults. Honor the leaders that are good leaders. And rebellious those who are bad leaders. Don't kill. Don't murder. Don't steal. When you talk about somebody, talk about them in the best possible light. I mean, judgment's good. Jesus, God said, I will repay. Now, every human being that the Jews say, like, see Dave walking down the street? He's not just Dave walking down the street. There's angels are coming, blowing the bugle, saying, make way for the image of God. That's who you are. That's who we are. Don't covet. And this is the way we live together, God. This is, we follow this way, we're following God's way. We don't follow it. We're not following the God of the Bible. We're the false other God. There's a lot of gods out there we choose from. Not the God of the Bible. And then, what we just pay attention to God. It's just God. Everything that's here is made by God. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You know, you feel bad, you make mistakes, you do things, it's what we said. When Jesus Christ, the second earth, takes away your sins. Frederick of Excel, the choice is made. All that I deserve, Jesus takes upon himself on the cross and gives us life and love, goodness, the power to be disciples. And then the Holy Spirit, the bodiness of God, the Spirit of God, it fills us up. Like, oh, yeah, Jesus loves me. I mean, Jesus loves me. You feel it in your heart. And Jesus loves you. You feel it in your heart. Yeah, so God, the Holy Spirit. And then, especially when we pray to God, our Father, not me and you, God, or I'm going to heaven and I feel bad about you, Kathy. No! Our Father, God loves us all. And we just celebrated Easter, so Jesus destroyed sin, death, and the devil. It's destroyed. There was a life of eternity. There's no longer hell. Hell is broken. And God's love is here for us. So, our to pray for for forgiveness, pray even for Jesus said the Sermon on the Mount, our enemies. So, the Lord's Prayer. And then these guys have the mysteries of God. God doesn't just explain on how he takes you and he baptizes you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are now a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Not Pennsylvania, not America, not the Elks, not the Moose, not the Masons. These are nice things. But you are a Christian above all. And you let your light shine. So in baptism, and then Holy Communion, the strength to be a Christian, the strength to live in the new age of Easter, the strength to even let Christ lay down your life for somebody that's worth giving your life for. A greater love is this than to lay down your life for your love. So and then you make this begin confession. You say, Lord, I am sorry. Lord, or you talk to me. You know, in my 40-some years of ministry, I've had 4 people come to me for private confession. Each time it was very beautiful. But I think the Catholics are better than we are. It's in your hymnal. These guys have studied this. They've worked hard. And it's not easy being a teenager today with the school and the responsibilities. They hung in there. And they were touched, and are touched by the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to affirm your faith in Christ. So, we're going to share a little bit about what Word of God has struck their heart, and then their faith in that. And they both agree, right? Why did you go first? And the wives begin confirmation, you kind of talk like this. Now we talk so this.
The Bible verse I chose was from Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. To me, this Bible verse means two things. One, it's my middle name, so I had to choose it. And two, the main reason I chose this because when I saw it, it just spoke to me. I didn't know how to explain it. I just felt like I was guided to choose that one. And for my faith statement, here it is. Hey God, could you help me write the faith statement I'm trying to write? I need to figure out how to show my love for you and some guidance for what I want to write about. I was thinking about how you helped us through death when Dad had his heart problems, and you guided his doctors to bring him back to health. What if I wrote about that Killer Angels book, gifted by Pastor Fred? It talks about the 3 days at Gettysburg and what both sides were thinking and how they were looking to God for guidance on how to end this war, because none of them wanted to fight, and they wanted what was right for the future of the United States. Or I could keep writing about how God is keeping an eye out on the Rhinos up in heaven to make sure they are not getting into trouble. However, all these ideas seem pretty good as I read this. Maybe this should be it. I know there's a lot God has done for us. The list is just too long. I think that this sums everything up for what God has done for me, and I'm eternally grateful. Thank you, God, for everything you have provided with me, like a good family, a wise pastor, and great people I've grown to know and love. And now I'd like to introduce my little sister, Emma.
love you, God, Mother God, who loves you, you know, the congregation that loves you. But you were saying, remember that God's with you. The good times, the bad times. You guys have too, the joyful times and the difficult times too. But God has been there. And whether you're going to Finisher College to study history or art, where you sit on animals, or we're singing in what's that called? The Phantom of the Opera, playing with Willow, you know, God is always with you. Remember that. Your parents love you, your God, your son. We do not. There's a fierce love for God. I love you because Jesus died for you. Peace of God that has full understanding of your hearts.